those measures of far and close on faith. He couldn't conceive of the distances between suns and planets, but obviously they existed. And being closer now meant that Sass could make her device, a massive wireless transmitter, send a message to her people asking for help. That was the purpose of today's event. The British and the Americans had made no real attempt to keep this signal secret. It was a spectacle, like most technological happenings. Famous wireless men like Marconi had even been invited to attend as honored guests. What would happen when the Dragons received the signal? No one knew. Most of the papers were assuming that the reception would be friendly, because that's what San assured them the sentiment would be. Some people were grumbling, worried that the Tsar would come and start harvesting men for food, since Earth was rife with them. Those sorts of stories were kept out of the papers, as newsmen took the responsibility onto themselves not to cause panic. All the important people, men like Bing and the Canadian and British Prime Ministers, knew that there was no choice. Through San, the Dragons had warned the men of Selkirk and Pacifica that the Hubrin had much more military ability than they'd yet shown, and it was only a matter of time before an overwhelming force arrived. Better to have Dragons around when it came. So the signal was being sent, the risk taken, and Smith would watch. As the Drifter folded his arms and looked from Sass back to the crowd of men, he started to feel a buzz in the air. It was electric, literally, and suddenly he realized Sass had turned around. The Dragons moved so silently, despite their considerable size, the Drifter still wasn't accustomed to the way they could defy his senses. Sass hissed something to San, something there was no chance a man could decipher or understand, and then, with a nod, the Dragon interpreter tugged the large brick of chalk from the side of his blackboard and started writing. Power up. The Dragons still hadn't figured out all the particulars of English. Things like ing were hit and miss, but considering how little time they'd had to grasp the concepts, Smith was still mighty impressed.
The transmitter is powering up.
General Bing was the host of this event, so he bellowed that message along to everyone in the cordon, and to the massive audience outside it. The crowd buzzed, and Smith saw the politicians fall silent and look on with interest. The Drifter himself just narrowed his eyes and took a breath. There was only one light on the outside of Sass's device, and as she stepped back from the machine, Smith could see it flashing faster and faster. He figured that must mean it was cycling up, like the wheel on a locomotive, and once it got to a high enough cadence, it'd shoot some sort of invisible message into space. Everyone watched with bated breath, and Smith saw Sass watching her audience. The Dragon struck him as wily and smart, and though he hadn't much of a chance to get to know her, he figured they'd get along, as long as she didn't try to eat his horse. The light flicked on and off, faster and faster, and then it turned a solid green color. A great hum filled the air, and then all of a sudden, it was silent. That was it. Smith kept watching for a minute, wondering if he'd missed something. All the humans looking on did the same. Somehow they'd expected fireworks or a lightning bolt, more of a spectacle. Instead, Sass hissed something to San, and then the interpreter scratched a new message on his board. Sended. That would mean sent. And Bing conveyed as much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the message has been sent, and is now crossing the stars. According to Sass, we may have to wait a week for the reply. For that length of time, this device will remain here in the park, and we will maintain a guard over it at all times. Please do not come close to the machine. It is vital it remains untouched until a reply is received.
That warning was undoubtedly necessary, since so many people were quite eager to see the Tsar kit at work. Smith wasn't so inclined to get close to their equipment, though. He didn't really understand it enough to want to spend time on it. So the Drifter didn't hang around too long. He turned and left the cordon, then waited by the train that would take him back to the New World. It took nearly an hour for Sass, Waller, Emily, Alderson, and Skeen to pry themselves out of the cordon and board the train back to the New World. Bing had to remain behind with the politicians and San for some sort of conference, but at least some of the notables could get away.